May mean he's going to preach longer, but it's not so in this case. Turn with me to Psalm 137 and 138. Psalm 137 and 138. We're going to start by looking at a few verses in chapter 138, and then we'll look back at 137. This is a time frame when Israel was in bondage in Babylon, and this psalm reveals what happened to them. And this 138 is a psalm of praise. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. You notice that God is small letter, small capital. It's not capital G, it's small g. And that is referring to the ancients. He said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's an amazing point of scripture to know and understand. God has made his word so important, it is even exalted above his name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Have you been down? Have you been discouraged? Have you been defeated? Have you had depression? Not clinical depression, but just discouragement that comes upon you because of the circumstance. And God gives you a song. God gives you an uplift by reading his word. God gives you the strength to go through what you're going through. In Psalm 137, and beginning with verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away. There they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Israel had been taken captive. Their city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The wall of protection around the city had been broken down. The temple had been ransacked. People died, and the remainder were taken into captivity into Babylon. Imagine that walk going in the wrong direction, away from the promised land, into the captivity, which is now Iraq, in the city of Babylon. And there they weren't rejoicing and singing the praises of God. They were defeated and they were discouraged. Many of them were heartbroken because loved ones had been killed in the battles. Many of them had to be separated from what used to be their family. And so they were sitting down by the river and they were mourning, weeping. They hung their harps up in the willows. They weren't using them to play and to sing praise to God. Normally the riverside was a place where people would offer prayers and praise to God. You'll remember Paul went down to the river and there's where Lydia he met. Because they went there because people would gather there for worship. And now here they are in Babylon, gathered by the water, but they are weeping and remembering their homeland. Those who wasted us required of us a song. They required of us mirth. Sing us one of your happy songs. Sing us songs we can rejoice about from your homeland, from your language. How can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? I may be speaking to someone here this morning or on the live streaming. Someone we may not know at all personally, but who may see this on live streaming. Someone who is captive to something, away from God, away from church. Their minds have been captivated by false teaching that has made them miserable and away from God. They can't rejoice and sing praise to God. They feel like they're under a burden of captivity to serve with rigor. Once they were in Jerusalem singing praise to God, now they're out of their homeland and out of their place of worship in the temple. They're away from the Lord. They're not being spiritually fed. They are spiritually in decline themselves because instead of praising God, they are discouraged and weeping. They have no joy in their hearts about spiritual matters. It doesn't take being made captives from another nation for this to happen to people. People are often, if you were out of the will of God and away from God and out of church and you got in sin and were around, they sing us one of the songs you used to sing there in your church. They would mock you by saying you sang songs of praise and thanks to God and now you're running in their realm away from the Lord. Many are caught up in sin and sinful ways and have lost the joy of their salvation. I shared with Brother Paul last week, I believe it was, that little sermon points, the 3 points. You know, pastor's got to have 3 points in a poem is what he's got to have when he preaches a sermon, you know. So I shared with him this little thing that, to me, it's made an effect in my life to remember that this happens to many people. They get away from God and away from church, and they get into sin, and they have reaped for what they sowed. And because of that, they thought they could just dabble a little bit with this thing they're looking at, this lust they're desiring, or whatever it may be, but it has taken them farther than they wanted to go. It is keeping them longer than they wanted to stay. And ultimately, it is costing them more than they wanted to pay. That has happened in my life. I'm sure it's happened in many of your lives. That when we get away from the Lord, we lose the joy of our salvation. Philippians is written to restore joy in the church. And it reminds us of many things that rob us of our joy. Dealing with people will rob you of your joy. I used to have to go to the highway department for the church and get all the bus tags and all that kind of thing. And if there's anywhere in this world that I'd get upset and angry with people, it was the highway department. They've done a little bit better with the way you take a number now, you know, and sit over there and they'll call your number and then you go up to the desk and then they tell you you don't have everything you need, go home and get it, and they'll keep you a place in line or something, you know. That sort of thing. Man works with a woman in the office. He's having trouble at home with his wife and with his kids. And he goes to work every day. And here's this woman that gives him a real smile. And she's like glad to see him. And he starts thinking thoughts about her instead of his wife. And he has no intention of leaving his wife. Has no intention of getting a divorce. Has no intention of taking it as far as it happens, the next thing you know, sin has taken him farther than he wanted to go and is keeping him longer than he wanted to stay, and it has cost him more than he ever thought he would have to pay. And he'll keep paying for a long time. That's one of the things that really helped me in my young marriage not to consider divorce at all. We have 4 children. I knew I never made enough money to pay child support on 4 kids, so there was no thought whatsoever of divorce. My wife says what Billy Graham's wife said, never thought of divorce, she's thought about murder a few times. And we probably have all had those thoughts go through our mind. You remember David's story with Bathsheba? He was the king. He was a godly man writing psalms. He had walked with the Lord. He'd seen God defeat his enemies for him. And he set up as a king of a united kingdom of Israel. That alone was an amazing thing. It was only David and his son Solomon that ruled over a united kingdom of all the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. They split. 10 tribes went with one group, and 2 tribes stayed with Jerusalem and Judea. David was ruling over a united kingdom. He walked on his roof while his men were away in battle, and he saw a woman bathing, and lust got him. He sent for her, and she became pregnant. And he sought to cover his sin like most people do. And he sent her husband into the heat of the battle so he would be killed, so he could take her as his wife to cover his sin. The child that was born to the two of them died. And it brought David to a shocking recollection that what he had done. The prophet sent word to him that he had stolen a man's one sheep. And he said, that man will pay. And David did pay 5 times what he had done with his children and the rebellion from his son. David with Bathsheba, he wrote Psalm 51 where he had lost the joy of salvation. He asked for God's mercy to blot out his transgressions, to wash him of his sin and iniquity, and cleanse him of all his transgressions. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. He was depressed and discouraged by what he had done himself, what he had caused. And he was hearing no joy, no gladness, no rejoicing for the Lord. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David was seeking personal revival from God, a restoration of spirituality, to be exalted above the troubles and trials and sins, to be right with the Lord, to sing praise to God and feel worthy in your heart to offer praise unto God. And he told the Lord, if you do that for me, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, O Lord. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We all know the need for people to be saved. We see the multitudes of people today in traffic, in any place of public venue that you go to. You wait in lines because of the multitude of people. Every time I go to a ball game, I look around at the stadium and I think of all these people. I wonder how many of them are saved. I wonder if they know the Lord Jesus. I wonder if they have the joy of salvation in their heart. Jesus looked on the multitude and had compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. Israel had no joy. They were away from the Lord, away from the temple. They had no songs to sing in a strange land. They sat down by the river and wept and hung their harp in the willows. Some people have hung their harp in the willow. They've gotten away from the Lord, away from walking with God. They've lost the joy of their salvation, and they're not singing any songs unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 talks to us about spirituality, about being filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, the scripture says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So one filled with the Spirit will be singing. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In the walk with the Lord, God desires to hear His children sing praise unto Him. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy Spirit." Then will sinners hear. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Many people get away from God and they have no joy. They have no resource of the church to restore their joy. Galatians says, "Ye that are spiritual, restore such an one that is taken in a fault." They've gotten away from God. They've gotten into sin. They've lost the joy of their salvation. They've sat down by the river and wept. They've hung their harp in the willow. They're not praising and singing to God. They can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And my friends, this land out here where we live and the world around us is a strange land to the people of God. We live in the midst of strangers, and they know not the Lord. They worship not the true God. They are caught up in false religion, or they're caught up in sin away from God. Imagine these Jewish people who lost loved ones in the battle. Children, fathers and mothers, they were scattered. And all these were taken into captivity. And those who learned pretty rapidly along that this was Jeremiah's quote to them, that their captivity would last for 70 years. Many of them would never see home again. They would never see the temple rebuilt. They would never see their family. For 70 years they would stay in Babylon. If they were any age at all as an adult, it's likely they would not live to go back and return home. The wall around the city was torn down. Many of the houses were destroyed. The temple was ransacked. These people felt forsaken. You could almost hear them say as they wept, "Lord, where are you? Where is the God of Zion? Where is the one who led Moses? Where is the one who does miracles?" And they wept. When they were home in Zion, they would hear singing in the streets. They would hear people coming for the feast days to the temple. And they would be quoting the Psalms or singing them as hymns from Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. That is called the Hallel, the giving of praise. And the pilgrims would be singing or praising these Psalms as they walked toward the temple. And they're not hearing anything like that in a strange land. These are called Psalms of Ascent. And Psalm 136 is referred to as the Great Hallel. Turn there for just a moment. You're probably close to it. Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever." 26 verses, and every one of them say, "For His mercy endureth forever." They would know these Psalms, but they had lost the joy to read them and believe that they could have the joy of the Lord in a strange land. Secondly, the unbelievers would mock them. "Sing us one of your songs. Give us one of your happy tunes." They don't have any heart to sing the Lord's songs where they are in the face of idols and idol worship and open debauchery and sin. Unbelievers will mock Christians who get out of church and away from God, who fail to be faithful to the Lord. They will profess we are believers in Christ, but if we're living around the unbelievers, they'll mock us if we don't measure up to be like God. If you get captive in your mind to false teaching, or captive through your desires and your lusts to sin. It is hard to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs because though the Spirit has not left you if you're saved, your spirituality has left you until you restore it with the Lord. Singing psalms in joy and gladness, focusing on the Lord and His forgiveness and His mercy enduring, and praise Him for those things, no matter how bad the situation is that you could be going through. Have you forgotten? Or do you know loved ones who've forgotten the pardon of God and the presence of God and the power of God and the purpose of God for His people? Forgotten the faith in God? Feel forsaken of the Lord. Feel the heavens are as brass, that your prayers cannot get to the Lord for some reason. And therefore you've lost the joy to sing the Lord's songs. Can you identify with the songs we sing? Do we sing with power? Do we sing with praise? Do we sing with thanksgiving? Do we sing with worship unto the Lord? Psalm 50 and verse 23, "He that offereth praise glorifieth me," the scripture says. Let us glorify God with our songs and praise. Let us seek to be filled with the Spirit that we might sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't say it's a sin to listen to secular music. There's a lot of good secular music out there. Once in a while, it'll say something that gives a spiritual slant to it about people. Country music, light rock and roll from the past, things like that. You may enjoy listening to some of that for a time. But don't forget how important it is to sing praise and glory to God, and not get focused on words that would lead you astray in your thinking on the Lord. To sing praise to God. Imagine the difference between these captives in Babylon sitting by the river, weeping and hanging their harps up, and Paul and Silas in Philippi. All they had done was come there, went down by the riverside. They met a woman named Lydia who was a seller of purple. She was a woman with wealth. She invited them to her home. She believed on Christ and was baptized, and her whole household. She offered her home to Paul and Silas as a place to stay and to teach the things of God to them. And then all they did was, walking down the street, a girl kept following them saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God." She was possessed of a demon. And Paul, finally tired of it, and he turned to her and commanded the demon to come out of her. And she was whole. The demon left her. But she had masters. She was a slave. And her masters knew without her possessed of the demon, they could not make money off her reading palms or telling futures or whatever it was that she was doing that made them money. And so they were angry with Paul and Silas, and they beat them and they drugged them before the magistrates, and they got them cast into prison. You can find all that in Acts chapter 16. They were cast into prison in the inner part and their feet in stocks of chains. And they're not weeping like those in Babylon. They're not crying like those in Babylon. They're not hanging their harps on the wall in the prison. They're singing praise to God at midnight. And God sends an earthquake and breaks down the jail and releases them from their chains. And they didn't get up and run out. They stayed there. The jailer came thinking that all the prisoners had escaped and he would be held accountable. He took out his sword to slay himself. And Paul called to him from the darkness. He said, "Do thyself no harm. We are still here." And he came and fell down before them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And he took them back to his home, and everybody got saved. And he washed their wounds and fed them a meal. And he said, "I release you." And they said, "No. We're going back and waiting in jail till the city officials come down here and release us." Because as Romans, it was not allowed by law to beat us and put us in chains and prisons without a trial. And so they feared and wanted them to leave because of that. In a song that Ron Hamilton wrote, most songs were written as a poem to begin with and then added to music. He wrote it based on Psalm 18, verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He said, my heart overflows with praise to the Lord. I will lift up my voice to the King. He brought me out of the pit of despair and taught my heart to sing. My lips sing his praise. My heart feels his love. His word is the lamp of my way. His mercy and grace forever endure. His arms draw me closer each day." And then the refrain, "Worthy of all my praise. You are worthy of all my praise. I bow at your throne and I worship you alone. Lord, you are worthy, worthy of praise." Just before Paul and Silas were beaten and cast into prison, they had been with Lydia and her household getting saved and baptizing them. Paul had rebuked the demon from this young girl. So instead of being brokenhearted about what had been accomplished, this trip they were on, the churches had increased in faith and in number. And now they're cast into jail. They think back on what was accomplished for God, the joy and rejoicing of seeing people get saved and baptized because they had carried the message of God to them. And so that overcame all the adversity that they had gone through. We identify these things with the sinful progress that takes place in our land. People are away from God who once knew the Lord, who once taught their children to know the Lord, who once sang praise to God and gave worship to the Lord regularly and faithfully in the church. Now they've become captives to false teaching or to alcohol or to drugs or to sexual sins. And they can't sing praise to God because they're away from God. Their hearts are captive to sinful things. I want to read Psalm 138 for you. And then as I make a few more comments, Jacob's going to come and lead us in a few songs. I asked him just to let you remain seated and take your hymn book and turn to these, and we'll just sing one verse of each one to remind us of singing praise and thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. Psalm 138, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Jacob, come if you will, and the pianist come. Let us worship and praise God no matter what trial or test we might be going through, or persecution or tragedy. No matter the wrong all around us, let us keep our focus on God, who is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. Let us sit and focus on the words of these hymns as we sing one verse of each one of them as a praise to God. And let us praise Him and thank Him and draw close to Him in our heart. And let us sing as praise and sing as a prayer. Lord, will fill our hearts and minds with praise unto our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. He will receive our praise and adoration and worship, for He is worthy.
We're going to flip to a few different ones, but we'll start on page number 14. Page number 14. This is called the Doxology, page 14.
It's to offer praise to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Then we'll turn over to page 16. 16, we'll sing one verse of Glorify Thy Name, page 16.
Father, we love You, we worship and adore You. Glorify Thy name in all the earth.
Oh,
meditation for us. God, work in hearts today. Help us to draw close to Thee, find cleansing and forgiveness and restoration and revival. Help us to praise You for all You do for us. Help us to focus on Your goodness and Your love and mercy. And let us rejoice and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto You and be filled with the Spirit of God, controlled by Your Holy Spirit. Bless now in this time, we ask in Jesus' name.